There's a long list of American communities where residents watched as their economic livelihoods drained away. So many towns and cities where generations of people went to work in factories and made good money there. Then the factories closed, putting all those people out of work. This is the basic story of Sweat, a play opening this week in a world premiere at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. It is the latest in the American Revolution's play cycle at OSF, which has produced several plays, including the Tony-winning play about Lyndon Johnson, All the Way. Lynn Nottage is the playwright of Sweat. She's a Pulitzer Prize winner for Ruined, that play, and two others have been also staged at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in Ashland. Lynn, a pleasure to have you here on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
We also have with us Allison Carey, who is the director of the American Revolution's play cycle. Thank you for joining us again on the Exchange.
Of course, my pleasure.
Good to see you. Was there a moment, Lynn Nottage, was there an oh my God moment, I have got to write plays? I mean, do you remember some real jumping off point where you decided this is what you wanted to do?
Not really. I think in one way or another, I was always a playwright. I began writing plays in my parents' living room for me and my brother. He was always the prince and I was the princess. And my parents indulged us. So I think that I've always been a playwright.
Who guided you? Who developed your talent for playwriting? Who helped you hone the craft?
Well, I grew up in New York City, and I had parents, and I was very fortunate, who always exposed me to a great deal of art. So I grew up going to the theater, going to see musicals, going to see plays, surrounded by a great many artists, and I ended up going to the High School of Music and Art. And there was one teacher in particular whose name I wish I could remember because it's always, you know, because people always, whose class I signed up for, and it was a drama class, and I think she took me to see some of the very first serious drama, and I think that's the moment when I thought, oh, I think I might be interested in doing this.
And you do some work on the side for screenplays, television, that sort of thing, is that right? To pay the bills, I think I read you say?
Yes, I have done it, not in a couple of years, but most certainly, and I think a lot of playwrights do now.
What really lights the fire for you, though, with staged plays as opposed to the screen stuff?
Well, I think I love that the audience is the final collaborator. I love the experience of being in the room and watching the audience sort of move and flow with what's happening up on the stage, and that's something that you can't get when you're sitting by yourself watching television or even in a movie theater. It's like the audience can respond, but what's on screen never changes. And I love that theater's dynamic and that I can go and see a play any night of the week that's my play, and it will be an absolutely different play, and I'll learn something from it.
It is a real shared experience, isn't it? I mean, you, even though they don't actually look at you or say, hey, cut that out or whatever.
Sometimes the actors they do.
If your cell phone goes off, I guess. Yeah. Do you teach at Yale and Columbia? We were trying to run this down on the break coming into this segment.
Well, I taught at Yale for the last 14 days. I remember that because I began the day after 9/11, and I started teaching full-time at Columbia last year.
And so you're not at Yale anymore?
No.
Okay. What's your square one advice when you're working with students? I mean, the real basic first thing you need to know before you set out to write a play that you tell to students?
I think the very first thing that I have two things that I tell students. One is replace judgment with curiosity. And the second thing is to tell the truth. I think that audience respond to the truth more than anything. And you'll see a play that's completely untidy. And you'll leave there and think, that was the best play I ever saw. And what you're responding to is the fact that the playwright told the truth. And you can see a play that actually sort of has tremendous structural integrity. You leave and you feel absolutely cold. And a lot of times it's because the playwright has not gotten to the core of the matter.
Is that a reluctance on the playwright to go someplace or just an inability? I mean, what do you usually chalk that up to?
I think it's both things. I think there's some playwrights who are sort of reluctant to go deep, who are afraid to go deep. And I think that there's some playwrights who are not capable of doing that and don't have that muscle.
And I think one of the things, just watching Lynn work, Lynn creates characters that are full people, and not all playwrights kind of understand that you need to do that to make a great play. So you can get wrapped up in giving characters purpose rather than actual creating human beings.
Allison Carey is the director of the American Revolution's play cycle at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Lynn Nottage, the playwright of Sweat, the latest play in that cycle, debuting this week at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. It's a world premiere. Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Having had, was it three previous plays by Lynn Nottage at the festival? Was it just a matter of time? I mean, were you sort of salivating, like, we've got to get her to write an American Revolutions play ever since that first time?
Yeah. Lynn was one of the first first playwrights we called when we created the program. And I remember when she accepted and we were like, yes, this is going to work. We have Lynn Nottage. So absolutely. And that it's finally on the stage is a remarkable thing and a wonderful thing. And, you know, the result of so much work that Lynn has done in Reading, which is, I think, a very special part of the creation of this process.
Reading, Pennsylvania is the setting of the play, and you have some projects going there as well I want to get to. But I want to talk about the process of guiding things into a new play through the American Revolution cycle. I mean, do you pick playwrights knowing that they favor certain periods and realms in American history, or do you go, let's see, we want to get this part of American history. Let's see if we get a playwright who can fill that niche.
We decided actually really early on that if we were going to make a list of what was important about the United States, that we would be cutting off our nose to spite our face. And what we really wanted to do was, we knew, you know, the idea that you're going to create a definitive portrait of the United States is a lie to begin with. So you throw that to the wind. And then you say, well, how am I going to get the best plays? And that struck us. And Lynn, you can say whether you believe that this is true, is that you tell playwrights to write about the thing that they care most about, that sparks their imagination the most deeply. And so the portrait that all these plays are creating is extremely impressionistic, but every play is a product of passion rather than someone assigning someone a topic.
So Sweat, Lynn Nottage, is about the decline of industrial America, very, very broadly spoken there, and its effect on people. Does this cut close to home for you in your own life?
Well, I think it does. I think it cuts close to home for most of us, and a lot of us don't even realize how close it does. For me, the play really began with an email that was sent to me by a very close friend who lives two doors down from me. And she basically was saying that she's a single mother, she has two children, and she was completely broke and had been completely broke for 6 months. And she wanted her closest friends to know that. She had been putting up a very brave front for a number of months, but she said she had gotten to her breaking point. And it really broke my heart because I saw her just about every single day, and I absolutely had no idea that she was at that point in her life. And I sort of wept. And the next day I said, let's go to Occupy Wall Street, which was beginning that week in Zuccotti Park. And we went to Occupy Wall Street and we marched around in circles. And she began to feel a little bit better. And she said, I also don't feel so alone. I realize that there are other people who are in the same predicament as I am. And it really launched me into this exploration of why and how America is changing and how, in particular, poverty is reshaping the American narrative. And I decided that I wanted to find a city that was really sort of representative of what was happening in America on a larger scale. And Reading, Pennsylvania, which is in the Northeast, at the time I began my search, was the absolute poorest city in America.
And our poverty level somewhere north of 40%, is that what I was reading?
You know, I don't know what it is today, so I don't want to misspeak, but at the time.
All right, that was the figure I think I saw. And was steel the industry there, as it is in so much of northeastern Pennsylvania?
Yeah, steel and textiles, and they have a small agricultural belt as well.
And so they've just watched jobs drop away over the years?
Yeah, I'd say probably the decline began, the big decline began in the 1970s, and there was like a huge decline in the 80s and 90s. A lot of the steel factories moved to other states or moved out of the country. And I think that NAFTA had a major impact in that region because these companies suddenly discovered that they could manufacture their steel products in other places for a lot less, and those places happened to be Mexico.
You know, anybody who's ever played Monopoly has noticed that one of the railroads is called the Reading Railroad, which was the name of a real railroad. I don't know if that helped at all to realize that was you picked a place that's actually on the Monopoly board.
It is the place on the Monopoly board. And what's ironic now is that the railroad doesn't even run through Reading anymore.
Really?
It doesn't stop there.
Oh, well, no passenger trains in Reading for sure. We're talking to Lynn Nottage about the play Sweat that she wrote, which is a world premiere at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival this week, part of the American Revolution cycle. Allison Carey, the director of the American Revolutions Project, is here as well. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone anywhere in the region, 800-838-3760, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. So the decline of industrial America, not exactly a light and happy theme. Is it easier for audiences to take issues like massive layoffs and abuse of women and subjects like this in a play rather than, for example, seeing it on the news?
You know, I think that what I can do as a playwright is I can humanize the headlines, is that I can take the characters that you usually see in the news represented in one paragraph, and I can bring them to life so that people understand who they are in three dimensions. And I think that that's one of the things that's important.
What are some of the keys to character development then? I mean, do you know people who are very much like the people who you place on stage? Or I mean, what kind of research do you go through? I read for one of the plays you spent like a year and a half in the New York City Library.
Well, for Reading, I spent a great deal of time researching this play, because it's not that I'm not familiar with poverty. I certainly have touched in my life, but I wasn't familiar specifically with the people who lived in Reading. And so I spent almost 2 years going back and forth trying to get to know the city, because when I began the process, I didn't know what story I was going to tell. I didn't know which character I was going to focus on. And so we decided to focus on between 10 and 15 people, and over time that whittled down to about 6 people. And eventually I found my play in the stories that people began telling us.
So 10 to 15 people, was it viewed as a larger thing at some point or a smaller thing?
Well, I always sort of think epically and then realize there's not enough time in the world to sort of write that play. But I began big because I didn't know what my focus was going to be. I didn't know who was going to grab my attention and who I was going to gravitate toward.
So a lot of the setting of the play, I understand, is a tavern in Reading?
It's a bar in Reading, and there was one bar that we went into in particular that was incredibly ambient, and I just thought, this is such a beautiful setting. It was so full of life, and when you got to speak to people, you realized that many of them had lost their jobs or were depressed, but still there was a vibrancy to the space, and I love that tension, and went to explore that tension.
So many communities have gone through this, though. I mean, I think about the quote-unquote Rust Belt states, Pennsylvania being one of them, New York and Ohio, and all the places where the American industrial heartland was and where so many factories have closed. Does it seem like when you look at Reading versus other communities, they've found a way to come back from this? I mean, it's not like you can bring these great factory jobs back with lots of money.
You know, unfortunately, I spent 2 years in Reading, and I'm one of these people who always sort of goes into a space looking for optimism and looking for sort of pockets of resilience. And what I found is that those pockets were very small in Reading, and that really disappointed me. And I thought, it doesn't bode well for America. You know, and one of the other things that I encountered in Reading is that we always ask people, how would you describe their city? And they'd always say Reading was. And no one ever spoke of their city in present tense or future tense. They always spoke of their city in past tense. And I felt in some ways they were sort of locked into this romantic notion of what Reading used to be and had sort of closed off to the possibilities of the future.
I've noticed that in other places, too. A town near where I went to high school in Connecticut still has large thread spools that decorate the city, you know, to represent the past when it had textile mills there, all of which have closed now.
Yeah.
And it's the same sort of thing. This city was this. Haven't quite figured out what it's going to be yet, though.
Yeah.
So Allison Carey, oh, by the way, we did get a contact from somebody who wanted to correct us. It is pronounced Reading. It is spelled Reading, but it's pronounced Reading like the one in our neck of the woods. So yes, the Reading Railroad is actually the Reading Railroad. That's how Reading, Pennsylvania is pronounced. Allison Carey, what kind of oversight happens then? I mean, do you have to do much once the playwright and the play are chosen for the American Revolution cycle?
Well, the biggest part of our job is to choose the playwrights, and then the playwrights choose the plays. And then over time, if it works out that it makes the playwright happy for us to produce that play, then we will consider it in our season selection process. And it really depends. I mean, one of the core principles behind American Revolutions is we ask the playwright what they want. So for any individual project, it's going to be different. Some people want dramaturgical support, like doing research, and other people want workshops. And so it really varies from person to person. And Lynn has a whole sort of world of theaters that believe in her work and enjoy being involved in the project. So we had help from Arena Stage in Washington, D.C., and the MacArthur Theater in Princeton and Labyrinth Theater in New York. So we were not alone in producing this work and helping Lynn develop it as she saw fit.
So how long from first germ of an idea to where we are now, and once you get here and see how things sound on the stage, do you still make revisions as you're going along?
Yeah, that's the lovely thing about a play is that you can continue to rewrite it forever. It's never finished. And so, you know, even sitting with the first audience, I'm like, oh, my God, I have so much work to do.
We have a question here from Robert in Eureka. He didn't stay on the line, but he wants to know if your work, Lynn Nottage, was influenced by Kurt Vonnegut, especially player piano.
Well, I would say that my work wasn't necessarily influenced by Kurt Vonnegut, but definitely by Bertolt Brecht.
Okay, of Three Penny Opera fame, yeah. Bertolt Brecht and Kurt Weill, and on all the work they did together. I read that you worked at a newspaper once. Do you still have that journalist bone in your body?
You know, I think I do. I think that that's why I always begin with some form of inquiry, and that I love sort of interviewing and going out into the field. I think that I've never let go of that muscle.
Mm-hmm. So since this is a world premiere, have you had any readings in Reading? I mean, have you had a chance for people to see what goes on with the play?
You know, we've spoken a great deal about whether we want to do a reading in Reading, and I think that that will happen. And we also invited some people who were instrumental in helping us with our research in Reading to come and see the play.
And how were they instrumental to research? Just because they talked to you and let you know what was going on?
Well, you know, it's always hard when you first enter a city to know where to go and who to interview and how to enter spaces. And so you need someone basically who's a fixer, uh-huh. who's going to help you. And so I think that we had a number of people who opened doors for us that I think wouldn't have been opened otherwise.
You mentioned Bertolt Brecht as an influence. Who were some of the other influences on your plays and your playwriting?
Gosh, I have such a wide range of influences because I think of myself as like a nomadic playwright uh-huh. who sort of migrates to different spaces. You know, I think Lorraine Hansberry and Alice Childress and definitely Tennessee Williams and Eugene O'Neill. And should I continue?
Yeah, please. Yeah,
this is the best reading
I'm waiting
ever.
To get to a name I don't know yet.
And, you know, I just love reading plays, and I would say that I'm influenced by theater and not just playwrights, but the whole sort of community of theater makers.
I had read somewhere where you said that reading plays is not easy for most people. What kind of gets in the way? And I'll have to agree with this myself because, you know, it can be tricky.
Because I don't think that most people are used to how a play is laid out on the page. I think that most people don't know how to move from character to character and to allow those voices to sort of live in their heads. I think that once that muscle has been exercised, that reading plays is a tremendous amount of fun. And I love reading plays, but I don't think that most people think about sitting down and reading a play.
It could be tricky, you know, yeah. to read all the stage directions and figure out where in the room people are in relation to each other and then look at little things that indicate who's talking at any given time. Lynn Nottage is the playwright of Sweat in world premiere at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival opening this week. Pulitzer Prize winner for Ruined. Allison Carey is the director of the American Revolution Cycle, which includes Sweat. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Questions and comments, welcome at 800-838-3760 around the listening area by email jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned going to Occupy Wall Street, which is an interesting thing, and you I guess you did some work from there as well.
I didn't actually. I wouldn't say that I did some work. I spoke mm-hmm. at Occupy Wall Street.
Didn't seem like work at the time, right?
Yeah.
Occupy Wall Street was certainly earnest in its intentions, but it's almost like you don't see much evidence of it now. But maybe you disagree with this.
I do disagree with it. I think that there has been a ripple effect. I think that, you know, the phrase 99% is part of our vocabulary as a result of Occupy Wall Street. I think that there are issues that have been pushed to the forefront of people's minds because of Occupy Wall Street. So I don't think that you can just dismiss it as not being a success because I think that it lives in our bodies.
Was there an expectation, at least on your part, that it would become something, a political force like the Tea Party had around the same time?
Well, you know, when it began, I didn't know what it was going to be. And I think that that's true of many people. And I think part of the beauty of Occupy Wall Street is that it was amorphous. And it sort of was it was saying to the people, we will be what you need us to be.
When you look at the economic landscape, which is so much a factor of what's going on in Sweat, and then you look at the political landscape and its response to that, I mean, do you gain some hope from the likes of Bernie Sanders out there beginning to to make sure that people are quite clear of economic disparities in America?
You know, I'm an eternal optimist, and so I never let go of hope. And I do think that, you know, I love the fact that there's a politician like Bernie Sanders who's part of the dialogue and hopefully will continue to be part of the dialogue as long as possible during this election, because I think that it's really easy to neglect the economic realities of what's happening in America. I think it's easier to sort of look overseas and look at ISIS and look at and be very distracted when the real terror that's happening is the way in which the middle class in America is being destroyed.
When we talk about the overall arc of the American Revolution cycle, I'm still curious about process here, Alice and Carrie. Is there like a map in your office that's got little pinpoints in it? Okay, we got this part of the country. We got this aspect of American time.
We have a variety of maps, and we have index cards with playwrights' names on them. You know, we looked at so many different lenses when we designed the program. You know, we should have a play for every state or a play for every decade. But ultimately, we realized we wouldn't be able to cover every state, every decade, everything everybody cared about. So the map, again, is very free-flowing. We have had playwrights, as you look at the plays we produced, all the way, Ghostlight, and then Sweat, that I think there's an enormous amount of interest in recent history among the playwrights where we've commissioned, and partially it's because it's what we're living and attention must be paid. And partially it's because a lot of stuff that happened in the 60s and 70s really formed, I think, the playwrights who were involved in the project, and there's so much stuff that we haven't figured out. You know, that moment arose and then declined and left us, I think, as a culture somewhat adrift. And so I think these plays are trying to grab onto an anchor and help us all collectively figure out who we are now and what we're made of.
We were reminded of the whiplash just this week in talking to the author of a very recent book about Richard Nixon using recently released files about the fact that 1968 was this year of huge upheaval and violence and death and destruction. And yet still some sense of like things are changing. This is a revolution. And yet Richard Nixon got elected in the fall of 1968, which is still hard to figure out 45 years later. So what then do you do in terms of what's next? I mean, what's down the road for the American Revolution cycle?
Well, we have produced at OSF six plays commissioned out of the cycle, and Great Society we supported, although we did not commission it. And we have a total of 37 that we will have commissioned by the end of 2017. And so we have a lot of years ahead of us of creating plays and, of course, sharing these plays across the country because, happily, most of the plays have gone on to have very active lives across the American theater.
What is the actual debut date? Have we passed it already for Sweat?
No, it's this Sunday.
This Sunday. Okay. Sweat at the it is in the Bomer Theater?
It is.
All right. At Oregon Shakespeare Festival, Lynn Nottage is the Pulitzer Prize winning playwright of Sweat. Alison Carey, the director of the American Revolution Cycle. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
All right, take care. That'll do it for this hour of the Exchange. We'll talk about Donnell Padilla Peralta in hour number two. His book is Undocumented.